Mike.
Michelle.
Hey.
Do you remember the first time you saw her?
I remember it like it was yesterday, Mike.
I'd like to begin by asking you a few questions about how this whole mess got started. Do you remember seeing him for the first time?
Yeah. You guys here on vacation?
Certainly are.
Welcome to the end of the world.
You were just saying the last time we did a podcast was October.
Yeah.
Welcome back to West Coast Project, Michelle from TN.
Thanks. I've really, really missed it. I'm really glad to be back.
You guys, I listened to your Americans podcast. You did a great job with it.
Oh, thank you. We really started getting into that and really enjoyed it. And by the end of it, we were just, I don't know, it's a little embarrassing looking back on it now because the last one we did, I was like literally like crying through parts of it. So it was kind of ridiculous, but.
Well, I'll wait till you do this one.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for. I know.
All right, Michelle, well, we're here to do the affair on West Coast Project, and this is episode one of season four, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, so Michelle, you're the reviewer. You're the one that goes back and watches all the old ones. Can you give us a recap of where everyone is at this point?
Well, in theory, you would think one could, except the way we ended season three just feels so different to me than where we started season four. And I'm not sure how they're going to reconcile that. I kind of trust them to, but I'd forgotten how much I love the twist to this series, how they tell the tale from different perspectives and how each person looks different to in other people's eyes, down to what they're wearing and how tired they look and their demeanor and all that kind of thing. But, you know, as I went back, because I really binged watched season three this past weekend, and it just seemed like a really good life lesson to try to understand that while facts are facts, that kind of, as you and I have talked about recently, that baggage and perspective can color the details of the facts. I was taking all of these notes as I was watching season three. And so I'm going to kind of contradict myself a little bit when we start talking about episode one of season four. But there's so many things. Like season three aired on November 20th, 2016. And that is a long time ago. And it's funny to me how these shows are doing this, how they're waiting. I mean, like Game of Thrones, how long has it been since that has been on? It's just forever. So I have to go back and watch it because my memory is so many details I lose over this period of time and watching other shows. And I kind of try to, my mind wants to kind of mesh everything together. So there just wasn't, you know, there just wasn't any way for me not to go back and watch it. But it's been like over a year and a half.
It's funny that you say that, because halfway through this, I did a forehead slap, like, holy shit, this is Helen's version of this. This is not what really, really happened. This is Noah's version. Like, that's how this whole show is constructed.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know, I feel like they kind of cheated a little bit on season three. I hope they don't do this on season four, and they haven't so far, of course. But season three wasn't my favorite season, because it seemed like there was a lot of distraction to the actual story. Like the teacher, Juliet, with the sick husband. I mean, the whole episode, the whole final episode of season three was Juliet and her husband. And we just didn't care, you know? I mean, we cared, but she wasn't. Look, we have the core of this, which of course is Cole and Allison and
Helen and Noah.
Yes. And anything beyond that, it was kind of funny because I was reading something that Sarah Treen put out that said that there were parts she had to show other people's perspective because there was no way to really tell the story without telling their perspective. And she was talking about how angry some of the viewers were with that and how they didn't like that. But
they didn't like that there was different perspectives that weren't 100% accurate because it was from the perspective of the person.
No, they love that, but they didn't. I'm sorry, I didn't communicate that well. No, they didn't like Juliet's perspective last season. Oh. Because they just didn't care about the character enough to kind of, quote, waste, you know, that half of an episode. I think somebody wrote that we didn't see Cole or Allison in the last two seasons or two episodes of the last season. We didn't in the last episode for sure. I had read that. But it's just crazy that the whole season long was like this misleading story about the guard that turned out to be nothing but Noah's like opioid delusion, down to the point where he even stabbed himself. As I went back and watched, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. We didn't see them in this episode either.
Right. But as we go back, as I watched this, knowing what was going to happen, it was a completely different story than watching it last year when I didn't know what was going to happen. I was annoyed that I had to watch so much and so much leading up to, you know, this mystery. I don't know.
You wouldn't feel that way about other shows, though, that you've already seen that you have to go through and endure a part you didn't like because you knew what was going to happen?
Yes, probably. I just don't like the whole, what was it, Dallas or whatever, JR thing. I don't like them to do a whole thing and then go, oh, none of this actually happened. This was a delusion. It just feels cheap to me. It's like a way to tell a story that then they go, no, it was all a dream, you know, and I don't like that. That's not my idea of good storytelling.
It had very little to do about the relationship aspect of an affair and a marriage and a breakup and a divorce and all that, too. It was just a weird sidebar.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing with this series, to me, is that there's enough story in this just with the effect of the relationships and how it affects the children and how it affects the spouse, and particularly with the different perspectives that they show us. That's enough. And we don't need to have these like mysteries, like the whole Scotty being killed mystery was almost too much. But they kind of covered that like in season two with showing it. It was almost like background noise, the Scotty thing was. It was a way kind of to connect everybody. But then we had the mystery, you know, last season of Gunther and what was going on with Juliet's husband. I don't know. I just, and even in season four now we have another mystery. It starts the very beginning of the season. We don't really know what's going to go on with it, but somebody's missing. She's missing. And kind of Noah and Cole are collaborating on that.
Yeah, so we should say on West Coast Project, Michelle and I talk about kind of the recap with spoilers. So if you haven't seen this and you don't want to hear something that you didn't see yet, you should see it first before listening to us.
Yes.
All right, Michelle, so the little bit of a recap the show did is they showed Noah had 3 years in prison. Allison now wants a divorce. Dr. Vic is with Helen and had left her. And then she confesses she killed Scotty Lockhart. And Noah has a hot tub with Whitney. No, just kidding. at the very beginning of the show, the cab says to Noah, the cabbie says to Noah, where are we going, buddy? What was that context? Can you remind everybody about that, where he's bailing out of a scene?
Well, that was the last scene that we saw in the series finale or the season finale of season three. This was when everything was supposed to be better. And that's what I said. I'm going to contradict myself on some of the things I said. Everything was better at the end of season three. We had like all this terrible stuff coming up and Noah's opioid thing and Helen having the crisis with Vic and Vic leaving because she kept bringing Noah back into the house when he was sick and she just wouldn't kind of face up to what was going on and everything. And Noah was just using her. It was just this terrible stuff. And then we end it. Like, Noah gets himself straightened out. He goes to Paris, and he's with Juliet, and he's there, and he's writing, and everything's good, and he looks good. He looks healthy, and Whitney gets away from Furcat, and they were fighting. She and Furcat hit her, and Noah saw that at the end of season three, if y'all will remember all that. And then Noah took her back home. It was Christmas Eve, and Noah took her from Paris back to the States and dropped her off in front of Helen's house. And he's looking in through the window, and Helen and Vic and his children are there, and they're enjoying this Christmas time together. You have the trees in the background, and everybody's laughing and having a good time. And he's on the outside, and he gets in the cab to leave, and that's where the cabbie says, "Where are we going, buddy?" And it kind of left us there. But everybody was good. Helen was in the window, and she waves at him like, "Okay, see ya." She was good. And now nobody's good again.
Yeah, if they were ever really good at that point. I mean, people are good and bad, I guess, in waves and roller coastery times in their lives. But was she really good with Vic? I mean, some of this stuff's going to come out as we do this review, but...
Sure.
This one has a part one.
Yes.
Noah and Scotty are not Scotty, Cole.
Oh,
are,
yeah,
watching. They're at some old gas station, and he's on the phone, and Scotty's watching him, and Noah wants Allison declared a missing person.
We're assuming that it's Allison. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Louisa. Although, if it's Louisa, why would Noah be there?
Yeah, but it has to be Allison, right?
It almost has to be, but I'm afraid they're going to throw in a twist on it. So, yeah.
Allison's twin sister.
Ooh, yeah. Who knows? Maybe.
And so then we get to part one. Actual part one is Noah.
Yep.
6 weeks earlier than, I guess, that phone call or that conversation between Cole and Noah.
Right.
Helen is nagging Noah about living conditions in L.A. where Noah has now moved.
Yep.
And it's a pretty good representation of L.A. Michelle, bad traffic, bad cell reception.
Is it really? Because I was wondering if that was exaggerated, having never been there, because they did not make that look pleasant at all.
I think they make California look typically the perceptions people who aren't in California have of California, they overcook that a little bit.
Okay.
But traffic in LA is going to be bad like that.
Yeah, he made some comment about it's half a mile. I'm half a mile away, but I'll be there in 40 minutes. I'm like, dude, get out and walk. You know, I mean, that's craziness. Anyway.
What does he do with his car?
Yeah, well, just leave it at home. I mean, why not walk if your commute's going to be like that?
Well, because he's 15 miles away, but it's the last half mile is traffic.
Okay.
Not like he's half a mile in his driveway.
Right.
And it looks like Noah works now at this Compton Academy in Compton.
Yeah.
With some hungover looking security guard. I didn't like the representation of Compton either in this. I don't think it's that accurate.
Meaning like the students or what?
Yeah, that classroom was a little too diverse, I think, than what you might find in Compton. But
really?
Anyway.
Okay, yeah.
All the girls in class are doting on him because he's now single. And
yeah, that was a little overplayed. But then again, we have to remember this is Noah's version, right? So all the women are going to be after him, I guess. And I've got a question. Can you teach in a high school after you have spent time in prison for a homicide?
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay. Okay, just making sure.
Is Noah that attractive to 17-year-old teenagers?
Well, I can't speak for 17-year-old teenagers. I can speak for 50-year-old women, and no.
All right, well, that settles that.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Anton.
I cannot imagine, no.
Anton is in the back in his hoodie, slouching and hating everything. He doesn't want to participate in the Animal Farm critique, and Noah gets right up in his face, and Anton steps up on him and says, "Hey, back off, buddy," right as the principal walks in.
Yep.
Principal kind of catches Noah in a weak moment. Like, I don't know if this guy's going to be able to do this. And she totally commands the respect of the class, where Noah's kind of losing it.
Well, yeah, but all the moments were weak moments with Noah in this, pretty much. There couldn't have been a better place, hardly. I mean, that was obviously a very weak moment, but the girls going after him, and I mean, all of it was just like a big embarrassment, I think, to Noah and his teaching.
Noah later on makes pals with another teacher who may come into play later, I don't know, but he kind of helps him with the computer and... but what he really wants is tips on the writing business, Michelle. He wants info on agents and how to do manuscripts, and gives Noah his novel.
His huge, huge novel. His, 500-page or more manuscript.
Noah goes home, or goes back to after school, goes back into traffic, and more traffic, of course. Calls Helen, tells her that he's running late. And it's a message, he can't get Helen to pick up. So he does something that I don't think you can do anymore, Michelle, which is pick up. I don't think you can do that with cell phones anymore. People don't hear you,
right?
They don't hear your message live, like an answering machine.
Right. It's just, I think they were... Does he think of himself as backward because he couldn't figure out the program on the computer and it didn't look that complicated when the guy showed it to him? And then he's on a cell phone saying, you know, pick up. And I mean, you can't pick up you're not hearing it live. There's no, I don't know. It was just, maybe he doesn't feel very confident in this time frame. He feels still older.
Well, Michelle, when you were in prison for 3 years, what was changed when you got out?
Good point.
So the guard who Noah hates shows him his gun. Like, you're not getting past me, buddy. And he's got a gun. Maybe that's a sign of our times, too. This is school agent, or what do they call those people? Special agents at schools.
Oh, I don't know.
Security people at schools have guns now.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And wouldn't let him in without like a pass or his name being on a list. I didn't know schools were like that at this point, honestly. So here I am making
a fairly good point. Like, what if your wife has a restraining order and I'm the knucklehead that lets you in and you sit next to her?
Sure. But that's between the husband and the wife. I mean, you can't expect an outside person to monitor that kind of stuff. I think that's over the top. If that's the reason, if you're not going to let somebody in because you're worried about people's safety because they're crazy, I mean, I guess that's different. But this, well, you know, your wife may not like you. Well, okay. I mean, I don't know.
Well, or safety. I think that's kind of what he meant by restraining order. You don't get a restraining order against somebody because you don't like their company.
Well, in theory, you don't, but yeah.
Noah gets slammed by Helen and the kids, and Vic the dick. Vic is a dick in this show, Michelle. Do you like him?
I've never really liked Vic, I don't think. Maybe I did last year.
Vic invites him to... He's Mr. Passive Aggressive. Invites him to dinner after, like, shutting him down. By the way, to an awful Mexican place with mariachis. Maybe that was... more punishment for Noah.
and just real intrusive, like so much noise, like you couldn't even have this any kind of conversation.
I hate restaurants like that, by the way, for the record, for the West Coast Project record.
Me too.
Mariachi's jamming in your ear. We got to give them money to go away. We find out Noah lives next door to Charles Manson, according to Helen.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he's clearly not a focus of their lives or activities anymore in Noah's version of proceedings.
Well, really, in both of their versions, he's not a very big part of their lives. But according to Noah, Helen's the one that's making it really difficult for him to have any time with his kids, like not answering his calls and thwarting him and all the children's activities and stuff like that. And according to Noah, he's just this good guy who's moved all the way across the country to try to have this relationship with these two minor children that he has left.
We find out Trevor is writing a lame novel about gay vampires or something. That was a quick note I made about it. But and has a boyfriend named Brooklyn, or his boy pal is his semi-romantic exploratory gender neutral or whatever you might call it, politically correct, call it friend, right. Boyfriend, teeny friend, whatever they are at that age.
Right.
Meanwhile, the mariachi band gets louder and louder, like the freaking Telltale Heart thumping while Noah's trying to talk.
Well, yeah, yes. But also in this, when Trevor's talking, it was funny. They were talking about Trevor's choice of material, that Trevor explained that the kid in this material realized she was gay and that her father was gay as well. So I thought that was kind of funny. I'm wondering if we're going to see something maybe about that, particularly maybe not father, but with Helen and the neighbor or something. I don't know. I'm just thinking that it was funny that they were talking about it like that.
This is where I slapped myself in the forehead and like, oh yeah, this is Noah's version. Heavy-handed Noah. Helen is a bitch. Vic is a dick. All the kids are distant. He's heroic, trying to do things and getting blamed for everything, for being in the wrong place and time. It's not his fault. Blobbity blah, blah, blah. It's all the world against Noah.
Noah drives me crazy. And after watching season 3, I was literally... It was hard to take Noah in that 10 hours and 2 days of Noah. And there's a lot of Noah. Yeah.
10 hours you did of that?
Yeah, it was 10 hours. Seriously, the whole season 3.
All right, Noah goes home from this and drinks and makes a call to Allison, apparently. Voicemail, just checking in, bye. And then to Max, of all people. Hey, Max, I'm reaching out.
Yeah, that felt a little heavy-handed. This was like a quarter of the way through, and I made a note that I'm feeling like this is something I've never seen before. Like none of this. It's like, do you ever watch a TV show and you see characters that you know, but they're playing in a different role, and you're trying to reconcile them? Although these were the same, Noah's the put-upon poor guy who's doing everything he can to do the right thing. But I just didn't recognize any of these people in the context of the affair. It was like everything was so different. And I understand they wanted a different backdrop and kind of freshen things up, but it almost felt like a completely different show at this point.
I don't know if I saw it that way. I was actually glad that there weren't sidebars to things. Like, this looks like it's going to be Helen and Noah relating to their perception of things, and I like the non-perfection of Helen and Vic's relationship. I think that relationship's on the rocks.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I think it's probably always kind of been on the rocks. Helen can't really commit, I don't think, to Vic.
I like this little mystery about Max too. Like, why is he going to reach out to Max? And we don't know Max's story, his full story. He was kind of in the shadows last couple years. He had a little bit of a relationship with Helen, but other than money, that's the clear first blush response. Other than money, what might Noah want with Max? Just friendship, maybe?
That is real interesting, Mike, because I didn't think about that. I don't know. I feel like Max has done nothing but be used this whole time. Obviously, he and Noah had a friendship, but remember Noah went to him and he gave Noah money when he was having the affair with Helen because I guess he felt guilty or whatever. And he kind of wanted Noah to be able to get the divorce and get away. But it just feels like Max has been used the whole time. So I didn't even think about Noah going after him for money, but that could definitely be it. You know, he's evidently living in some area that the children find unsavory out there. So, I don't know.
Yeah, he's next door neighbors with Charles Manson.
Yeah, that is never good.
So, what happened to Noah's money?
I mean, I'm going to have to assume that it all went to attorneys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to fight a... homicide case, I imagine, would be really expensive. When you were fighting your homicide case, didn't it cost a lot of money?
No, I just used LegalZoom.
Okay. Okay.
All right, Noah then reads the misunderstood genius Anton Gatewood's thesis on Animal Farm, Michelle. And immediately, as the shit, he's a shit-ass bad teacher, immediately accuses him of plagiarism because he once was accused of plagiarism. He must now be guilty of plagiarism again. But, Michelle, Anton Goodwill Hunting's him and walks out.
Yeah, okay. Okay, let's talk about this just for 1 second, okay? Noah sees himself like as somebody who tries to fix people. Like, he finds these people who are in distress, and he thinks he has, like, something to offer. Kind of like he did Allison. They kind of played into that a whole lot last season. And so now he's found somebody new that he can be their hero, maybe, which I think is maybe what we're going to see in this. And they kind of showed Noah at the end of last season as having learned something and come full circle. If we see these people repeat, and of course in life you do that, but if we see these people repeat these same mistakes again and again and again and again, it's going to become tiresome to me.
Maybe. I think that's kind of a thing guys do, though. They kind of white knight or whatever. Knight in shining armor, white hat, rescued, come to the rescue. It's a fantasy guys kind of have.
Sure. And I get it. It's not just a guy thing. I mean, you know, I see it a lot of time with females, too. But it's the people who are always there when there's a problem, and they really kind of, you know, wrap around and help people like that. But when you realize you have like this kind of white knight syndrome, and by the way, Noah wasn't good at that. He didn't help Allison. Nothing he did created anything good in her life now in the long term, as we've seen. And I don't know. I just don't want to see him doing the same kind of thing again and again. I don't know.
It's hard for a sheep to change its stripes, Michelle.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, that was part one. Part two is Helen. Maybe the most interesting character in the show to me, Michelle. I like Helen, I think, the best.
I do, too, by far. By far, I like Helen the best. I didn't like the way she saw herself in this. I'm conflicted. Let me ask you a question. Is Helen over Noah?
No, do you think? Of course not.
Okay. Having come off of season three, I keep saying this, but in season three, you could real. I mean, there was no hiding it. She was not over Noah. But when Allison told her that she was at the crime scene and she was the one who pushed Scotty out and Helen into the road that Helen hit, Helen come to the realization that Noah didn't do that for her. She had lived this whole time, the whole time he was in jail, the 3 years, thinking Noah had sacrificed himself for her. And she had this realization that he sacrificed himself for Allison. Allison was the one who pushed the person out into the middle of the road, and Noah knew that. So at the end of season three, we see her get over Noah. She's over him. When she waves to him, she doesn't hate him. She doesn't love him. She's just done. And now she's back, not done.
Yeah, I think you might be putting some words in Sarah Levy's mouth there by saying she was over him at that point. I don't know that she was. And that now is going back to not being over him.
Well, it felt like that. It felt like she finally saw the light after that whole season long of just, you know, Helen, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you going after this jerk? And don't you see what's going on? And then it felt like she saw.
That's what people do, though. That's what people do. That's why this show is good.
You're right.
People pine for people that are not good for them.
You're right. I just don't want her to do that again. I really, really don't want to do that again with her. I want her to wake up to the toxicity that Noah is in her life.
Yeah,
his account.
The point, I think, is we're all human and we're subject to our fears and motivations, and they're not always healthy and constructive. You know, like, why is she married to Vic? Vic, who she doesn't seem to be into anymore. You know, I don't know. I mean, here she is. She's meditating with her artificial horizon from the artificial horizon deck view from this rich guy's house, which is like essentially a paradise. He's pretty nice to her. It seems like he's a good guy. But she's thinking about Noah. How could he stay out there? She's like dreamily looking out into the mountains where Noah is. How could he be out there? It's dangerous out there. You know?
Oh, is that what she was saying?
Maybe. Or how could he stay away from me? She says, how could he stay out there, I think. And I know, and I don't know for sure, but I think she's thinking of Noah. How could he stay out there?
Okay, I didn't hear that. I didn't have closed caption on. I thought she was talking about that she was just nervous about like the retaining like the glass decking around. I thought she was saying, how can that stay up there or whatever. That's what I thought she was. Well, she goes over there and she's bent over looking at it, which I didn't like. I thought that hopefully it in some kind of premonition to something. When Vic comes out and goes, what are you doing? Because she's literally bent over this glass railing, kind of like looking at how it's attached or whatever. I don't know. That's just how I took that. But your way makes more sense.
Like, what's the adhesion on that 90 degrees strip joint on that glass? How could that stay there?
That's what I thought she was doing. I swear. I watched it like twice. And I thought
she's dreaming about Noah, thinking about Noah. How could he stay out there looking off into the distance in the towards the crappy part of the city where he's living?
Okay. Okay, that makes a whole lot more sense.
Charles Manson, his neighbor.
Right. She was a nervous wreck in this. And I thought they might have played that. Well, obviously they overplayed that. I have seen drug addicts that weren't as antsy, literally, as she was. And, I mean, she couldn't sit still and she was moving and wiggling. And just, it made me just itchy. I mean, I couldn't watch her hardly, which I loved, by the way, but it was great acting. But she sees herself as a wreck, complete wreck.
Made you itchy. Maybe you're the drug addict.
Well, I mean, one could think.
All
and
right,
then
Michelle.
We find out Vic, he's losing weight, right? And he's like all happy about it, kind of, and everything. Do you think that's going to come back to be something?
I don't know. All right, Michelle, I noticed, but I may be wrong due to later developments. I noticed that in Helen's view, she's always stressed. In Helen's versions of sides of the show, she's always stressed. Vic is an interrupting nuisance to her. He's always walking in or being there when she's concerned with other things, especially like Noah. He interrupts her when she's thinking about Noah all the time. Helen's setting is a prison, like prison-like, walled in by this glass deck and pining away for something outside of it. And in Noah's view, Helen is always happy and Vic is an intimidating competitor. The kids and Helen both love Vic, and Helen is surrounded by Vic and the kids and Noah's remembrances, like at the dinner. It's like their little family. It's a circle. It's like a group and Helen's in the middle of it. And Noah's always an outsider, like arriving late. There's no chair. He has to go find his own chair.
Right.
So he's literally physically separated from them in his view. So their views are very important, I think, to this story. That there's Helen's view and Noah's view and then reality.
Right. Well, Vic seems to be hyper-focused on Helen's relaxing in this particular thing. It's like he's always, to her, not to anybody else, but in Helen's version, he's always like hyper-focused on something that just doesn't even seem to make any sense, right? I mean, how many times can you say, what are you going to do today to help you relax? What's going to go on today? Tell me what your plan is today. Well, does that work? I thought you were going to do this. You know, I mean, it was like, I mean, you're making me a nervous wreck, dude, trying to tell me how I need to do things to relax.
Maybe because he's a doctor prescribing, I don't know. But yeah, he is like, but that's his way of keeping tethers on her too. What are you going to do? How are you feeling? Do you love me? Are you relaxed? Are you worried? Those are all symptoms of something not good with their relationship, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
He's sneaky, that little bastard Vic the Dick. I don't like him.
Why why does that make him sneaky?
Because he's asking her in a friendly way, hey, what are you going to do to relax today? Like, that's a translation of that is like, hey, is everything cool with you and me? Or are you still worried about Noah? And are you going to, be antsy?
Maybe. Or maybe he just wants her to be good. And he's like, how can I help you? What can we do to make sure that you're good?
Well,
I mean,
Michelle,
what else can he do?
This is interesting because this is the Mike version of the West Coast Project, just like there's the Michelle version.
Okay.
It's my proclivities for my pre-thoughts on things that affect what I say and think and interpret. I mean, this is why this show is so freaking cool, because it's like this is how we go through life. I see Helen and Vic one way because of my past. And you see them because of your, we're all, it's no tabula rasa here, right? We're all affected by the world around us. So I think I have to temper sometimes what I say, like, is this really what's going on? Or is this just my biased opinion of what I'm seeing here?
But that would have to be true in everything that we watch and stuff too. But I think it might make it even more interesting in a show like this that does have the different perspectives on it.
Yeah, it's a cool premise for a story, and I think that's what this show should continue to focus on, because that's the most interesting part, and to me anyway.
I completely agree, and I'm gonna say this too: when we watched episode one, it seemed like that the changes in people's perspective was so much less than it is now, and I kind of like that more. I like this, I don't know, I don't want to say they're dumbing it down, and I hope they're not, and it's only one episode, but these big, huge changes, I mean, we don't see things that different from everybody else. You and I are talking about these little tiny nuances, and in episode one, it was little bitty things like Allison would look tired to herself and she had on like a long dress, but to Noah, she was fresh and bright and had on this short dress and was just sex appeal personified. And I like that. I like that it could have actually happened either way. And you could probably meet in the middle. I'm finding with these that there's no way to meet in the middle. Somebody's
I
just
know, but now we've had the force multipliers of murder and affairs and families breaking up and Charles Manson. I mean, come on, Michelle. There's
there's
more diversion to be had than there was when they were just on vacation in the restaurant. Oh, she's wearing a yellow dress. Oh, she's wearing a plain old gray dress.
Right. I don't know. I just don't want them to carry it any farther than they have, because otherwise it's just going to be a he said, she said, which is completely like different. It's like different than just a perception thing. It's actually a lie thing. Of course, they did that at the beginning, too, I guess, like when Stacy got choked on something and Noah remembered himself getting her unchoked, and that's not how Allison remembered it.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's still connected enough for me.
Okay.
I just think there's more drama that's passed between everybody, that there's more to be misinterpreted.
So tell me about this neighbor.
What neighbor? What do
you
mean?
The neighbor. The neighbor who comes over and brings a,
Well, you tell me about her. Is she the one that's the new Allison that's going to break up Vic and Helen?
Ooh, that's an interesting conversation.
That's my perception of Helen looking at this little hottie coming over with her ripe avocados.
I never thought of that. That never one time entered my mind.
That's because you're the Michelle side of this.
I guess. That's pretty interesting.
All right, Trevor gets... We're not there yet, though, right? Trevor gets text by his boyfriend, who Helen just has seemed to just find out is not a girl.
Right.
Or a place in New York, Brooklyn.
Right.
Brooklyn.
Right.
And then there's an earthquake, Michelle, an earthquake fake out. Helen's losing it now with earthquakes as symptoms of her disease with Noah.
Yeah, that's a lot, right? I mean, this is like really bad. She's certainly not progressed at all if she's having delusions of earthquakes and severe. We're not talking about you feel a little tremor and think, ooh, you know, what was that? We're talking about glasses rattling kind of, I don't know.
By the way, Michelle, earthquakes are not the worst thing in California.
What is?
Those little jiggly earthquakes happen all the time in California. It's like, oh, well, fires, floods, Santa Ana windstorms. Those were way worse than freaking earthquakes.
Well, easy for you to say. Because you're there. I mean, you've lived through that. That would be, you know, horrifying to me.
I know. That's why I'm saying that might be one of the campy, like, overwritten prototypical things about California, like a trope that, everybody's always on their toes ready for the next earthquake to wipe everything. It's not like that.
Right.
Little temblers like that happen all the time. Anyway, you brought up this hottie next door. Did I miss a scene? Did she come in already?
No. I actually didn't take notes for the first time in a scene by scene because I didn't know if we were going to like have that as much time to get this done. So I just kind of hit the highlights of it and I didn't have all the rest. So no, absolutely not.
All right, Michelle. Well, Helen does that earthquake, little panic attack. And then she goes to see her shitty, shitty, shitty psychologist, Michelle. scan your body and tell me where you feel. I do not like this guy either.
Do you know him? Do you remember him? Michael Gross. He was from Family Ties.
No, I never watched Family Ties.
Yeah, he was the dad in Family Ties. That's all I could think of when I watched him. It was pretty cool.
Well, he's a dumb turtleneck hack psychologist in this. I don't like him. But I do think, Michelle, I think this doctor's office may be the one directly from In Treatment, which was the Haggai Levy show that starred Gabriel Byrne about psychiatrists, psychologists.
Never saw that.
It's really good. It's called In Treatment. He's a psychologist. And Haggai Levy, the producer of this show, wrote that or did that showrunner made that one.
Oh, that's back smart.
A long time ago. It's old. It's 10 years. I think you can find it on Netflix. It's really good. In Treatment. Okay, but I think they're in the same office. Like it looks like the same set, but I have 10 years of memory I'm trying to rely on here. Anyway, he says, the psychologist, that this may be a gay earthquake, that Trevor being gay may equal the earthquake.
Right. And Helen's like, no, I always wanted a gay son. My other son's like Gary Cooper. It's like, I mean, and she talks so much, it's like, she also says that she thinks Noah will blame himself, and the therapist is and writing down stuff like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I think you're projecting a little bit, Helen.
Yeah, Helen's worried that the gayness may be a result of Noah not having been around for Trevor. So the doctor asks about Noah. He's starting to zero in a little bit here, and I think she says, no problems, but he annoys me. Like, that's all it is that Noah just annoys her, and that's the beginning and end of it.
Yeah, and isn't it funny? Because Noah annoys her, and the sun annoys her, and the Pacific Ocean annoys her. I mean, those are like some big, big things that you're not going to be able to get away from. When she get away from the Pacific Ocean, but it's just like this, she's talking about these huge things that annoy her, and Noah's one of them.
Yeah, it's like the beautiful things. Like, life is perfect, but not really perfect. Like, how can the beautiful shot of the ocean annoy you? It's the fact that she came there for other reasons. That's what, that it's like Skylar with the floor at Ted's house. Like, at first it was, oh, this is so comfortable, this warm floor. And then later on it annoyed her because she's doing something she knew she didn't really want to be in.
Right.
It's the symbol of what is annoying her. Or it's the symbol of what is annoying her is of. Break down that sentence.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, Helen gets home and faces more inadequacy via the super maid. That's a maid, right? Or some person.
No, that was Vic's mother.
Oh, I thought it was thought it was the housekeeper.
That's what I thought when I first saw her too, but I made a note here. She left her crazy parents on the East Coast and swapped them for Vic's even worse mom. out there. Oh my gosh, she was awful, and but it was great. It was a great scene. She is stupid, intrusive. She kept saying things like "your children, Helen," and she's very, very passive aggressive. Everybody's intrusive to Helen. Vic's intrusive. Vic's mom's intrusive. The neighbor was intrusive. The teacher, even when they went to that meeting, the teacher's intrusive about Trevor, saying, "Oh, he's gay, but know that we support that here." I mean, it's just intrusive. But she didn't know if they knew anything. Everything feels like it's like jabbing at Helen. Everything, the sun, the ocean, Noah, Vic's mom, everything. So she's really seeing herself as like catching it from all sides, I think.
Yeah, she even tells Helen that she can't keep, that Helen can't keep Vic fat because her cooking sucks.
And she brings over food for him. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh, that just, I mean, you know, as a female, that, talk about a slap in the face.
I'd like it. I think that would be good. All right, she senses another earthquake. And then this is where Sierra, the hot neighbor, comes over with her ripe avocados.
Yep.
She wants to paste them all over Helen. Get her to go to goat yoga and paste avocado juice all over.
Yeah.
So I thought right away, oh boy, here in Helen's mind is the hottie about to take Vic away because she's right next door. Vic's going to see her in her ripe avocados and be attracted to her. And that's the here we go again.
Yeah, well, Vic's already seen her. And remember, Helen was already kind of scolding him. You know, he said something about, "Does she look like so-and-so to you?" And Helen said, "Well, I don't know. You're the one that looks at her," or something to that effect. And then he's moving her trash cans around and doing things for her already. But still, with all that, for whatever reason, that never entered my mind, that she was worried about Vic and the younger neighbor.
Well, why do you think she's there?
Some reason. But, I mean, that makes total sense. It just, for some reason, that did not dawn on me.
She also has the little girl appearance of, like, Allison. That I'm just a helpless little girl. Like, she's small. She looks super young. I mean, I'm sure she's capable of being an adult, but she has that look.
The little
damsel in distress that needs help.
Well, yeah, she's outside in the morning in a nightgown, like a flowy nightgown.
Yes, she is. All right, Michelle, Helen and Vic at the science fair.
Yep.
Noah's late again. Helen's pissed. Vic wants to know, why do you let him get to you? And that's a good question, because she does let
him
get to her.
Well, but it's her kids. You know, she knows that this affects her kids. And I don't think you can help letting something bother you if you're close with your children and you realize that something's painful
that's
to
not
them.
Why, though, that Vic asked that question?
He gets
to her because of their past relationship, not because of the kids.
Right.
Trevor and his little boyfriend are playing on the computer. The teacher shows up, uncomfortably telling them, "You guys have a wonderful son." That was uncomfortable.
Right.
And she essentially says, in my political take on the times, Michelle, "Don't worry, because Trevor can be a snowflake here in our safe little environment. Don't worry that he's a snowflake."
Well, I didn't particularly hear snowflake, but yeah, she did say, she insinuated strongly that he was gay and that that's okay because this is a safe place. And that was, like, so out of, I mean, why would somebody say that if it weren't something?
Because that's what teachers say in California schools. I remember, Michelle, this is Helen's view.
Right.
And I think the important part of it is that she seems to have disdain for this interpretation of these people and events around her. She seems to not like this. Like, she doesn't seem to like that this teacher's coming up to try to reassure them that your little boy is safe here in our environment.
Well, I mean, you know, the safe thing is good. Excuse me, but I don't blame her. I mean, I wouldn't want somebody to come up and say something like that, insinuate something that we hadn't even had a conversation about. I don't know. I felt like it was intrusive too. But like you said, this is Helen's take.
I think a lot of California parents would embrace this. Oh, thank you. We really love having him at our at your school. I think this would be the setting here in California for a lot of people. Whereas Brooklyn or New Yorkish Brooklyn might be more rough and tumble, California is like a snowflake haven for lots of people. Safe zones, you know, quiet zones. It's wacky. I mean, just watch on YouTube some Milo Yiannopoulos, how he's banned from talking, and you know, just it's in the news everywhere.
That is so crazy to me, because I mean, we're, you know, you and I are both in the United States, and the culture here in Tennessee is so different from what you're describing there, that, you know, I don't even really know, is it true or is it being exaggerated? I can't tell, because I can't imagine that in the United States our cultures are that different.
Well, Noah storms up late, super aggressive. No, and his name's not on the list. Vic interrupts him, like almost steps up to protect Helen from him. And we're back at the Mexican restaurant dinner. Trevor's pitching his idea and his wish to work on it with Brooklyn. Vic is a great parent, getting him to, I think he's kind of a great parent, getting him to explain his production ideas and, you know, flesh out his idea about his story. This is one point where I actually liked what Vic did. But Helen's not into it. She's bored and distant. She's kind of thinking, her mind's wandering off to other things.
Well, she's waiting on Noah to show up. That's what she's concerned with.
Right. So she's not concerned about the kid. She's not concerned about Trevor and is encouraging him about his story. She's thinking about her ex.
Well, and yes, yeah. But she's also trying to get him to tell her that he's gay. She's really kind of leading him down that.
Yeah, but if she's bored and distant and looking off and thinking about other things, how can she be concerned? I know she is concerned about that in general. And right. Vic blows it by blathering in and Trevor's about to reveal, I think I might be not right. hungry for more chips. It's like, I think I might be gay. When Noah blusters in, sits down, grabs a beer from a moving waitress. He cannot do that, Michelle. Right off the tray.
It's not okay, I'll stop. I'll stop then.
Frank Sinatra in 1950 grabs a drink off the tray.
He's such a buffoon in Helen's eyes. I mean, he's just so awful.
Buffoon / hero. She's into him still.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but at least in this episode, she verbalized that she didn't like him. She realizes that he's the cause of her earthquake, I guess. Last season, she didn't. So maybe there's hope for Helen.
So they have a bathroom scene where they have a kind of a private talk, and Noah pees and Helen talks. And I think in the first version, Helen peed and Noah talked.
Right.
That was weird. Weird little switch.
Yep.
And I think the bottom line that I take from this, Michelle, you tell me where I'm wrong, like you are so good at.
Okay.
Helen thinks Trevor's intimidated by Noah. She thinks Trevor will be afraid. Noah will think it's his fault. But Helen thinks that herself. Helen herself believes that.
Yeah, I think she's definitely projecting her belief on Noah. Because that way she can verbalize it. So, sorry, I can't disagree with you there. I completely agree.
So then there's another earthquake. Noah, and then she realizes Noah is the earthquake maker.
Yep. And she even says it. But what she's saying is like crazy. You know, I mean, it's really crazy talk. You're the earthquake. You're the other shoe. And he's like, what?
Yeah, you broke up my life. I work to get a new one. I get a good life. And then you're still in it. But that's her leaving him in it, not him. She could segment him out to the appropriate level of intimacy if she wanted to, I think.
Sure.
And then so she suggests something that is not practical at all, that they stay away from each other as much as possible, which on the surface sounds practical, but that's, she hasn't resolved her need to have him around. That's the real problem.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not 100% convinced like you are that she's still into him. That's why I ask. I think she probably is. I think I'm like 75% leaning that way, that she's like fighting this because it's still so important to her, and but she's leaning definitely the other way, leaning against it, whether it's how she actually feels or not.
Well, it's the I love you, hate you. I hate you, love you. It's
Right, I hate
not
that I love you.
resolved. It's
Right,
not
you're
processed.
absolutely.
So Helen and Vic talk later on at their home. She suggests going on a vacation, a getaway. Like you physically can't get away from these troubles, but Helen wants to go to Big Sur and get away and just. And then Vic apparently dies of a heart attack or falls over with his toothbrush.
Yeah, I don't think he dies. I think we see him in the upcoming episodes. I think we see him, so I think he's still going to be there. But it was funny. I was watching it with my husband Mike the second time that I watched it, and Mike immediately said his mother poisoned him. So that was like really funny. But I think Vic might be sick of, Captain Obvious here, because I mean, like sick, right? Because he was losing weight. And his mom came over and was like taking in his pants and stuff because he had lost so much weight. And now we see him fall out. So I think we may have some kind of storyline where Vic is not well, like in a maybe a more long-term way.
Yeah, that's a pretty good take because he seems to be losing weight without, like, oh, my new diet or my new exercise regimen has really worked well. It's just like, hey, I'm losing weight. No
Right.
explanation for it.
Right.
Yeah, so those are the mysteries, Michelle.
Lots of
Choking me
mysteries.
up.
Sorry. Yeah, I know. There's some things that I didn't love, in this episode. Like, I kind of talked to you about a little bit about how like Noah's the guy who wants to be people's saviors, and what was the point of all the therapy and self-discovery if he's destined to keep repeating the same mistakes and living his same, life cycle that doesn't work out for him. And, I don't want that to get old and feel
Yeah, but
tiresome.
that's
And
not really old to me. That's kind of our challenge in life. How many people go through therapy and totally re-change their lives to a whole new direction, fresh new direction? Our struggle is where we're kind of chained to our past in a sense that we have
I
to.
agree. I agree with you, but that's because you're a normal human being. Noah's not. Noah was deeply disturbed from the, scene where he killed his own mother or helped her die, and the whole, I mean, just everything, the prison thing, the opioid addiction. Noah can't afford to do this. Many of us, and as you said, life goes on, and we do the same things, but we don't have those extremes.
Yeah, but I mean,
And
this is television. I think the extremes kind of illustrate or illuminate the norm. But that's how we all are. We all
sure.
have problems, and we try to do our best to overcome them. But we all often fall back into our old ways, even if they're negative, especially if they're negative. It's
Yeah.
hard to change. It's hard to just take a new direction. And I don't think Helen's going to be able to do it. And Noah's not. I mean, that's just life.
Well, how can Helen ever really relax with that railing to the deck? Who could really relax with that? My hands are sweating while I'm talking about it, much less watching it, much less being there. She's never going to
Yeah,
relax there.
I like that they made that house look like a prison. Like you can't just walk away from it. You're here. It's like a. It's she's literally Rapunzel at the what do they call those things? Not marionettes, but the top tower looking out that she can't get away from. That she's pining away for somebody to come help her.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So those are my mysteries. What happens? What does Noah want from Max? What's the hot neighbor to gonna be? Is it just a construct in Helen's mind that she's a threat, or is she really gonna be somebody? Probably not, because Vic doesn't seem to be. He's just googly, stupid googly male with her. He's not like Noah with Allison for her.
No, but did you not wonder if maybe Helen's going to have an affair with her?
With the girl?
Yeah.
No.
Well, they kind of teased us with that thing Trevor was saying about the, you know, the gay girl, and she found out later that her dad had been gay. And then, so it was like a, you know, and if Trevor's gay and if one of his parents are gay, I don't know. I couldn't get that out of my mind for some reason. That may be more telling, you know, about me than anything else. I don't know. But that's what I was thinking. The girl was like really into Helen, not necessarily into her in a sexual way or whatever, but she was in her face into her. Oh, your skin is so beautiful. And I mean, that's nice. There's nothing wrong with any of that or weird or anything about it, but it just, for some reason, it just struck me that way. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like if she was gay, that would be the path that she would take to get into Helen's life. It's like, oh, let me give you this avocado facial scrub or whatever. That would be how she does it. But I think she's a symbol of just the threat to Vic and the marriage. And, you know, who knows? This show could go anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle, that's all I got. Did you watch any episode 2 previews?
I don't know that they showed episode 2 in the way I watched it, but they showed like upcoming, like for the whole season. So sometimes they'll do, but I did not take specific notes. Like the only thing I did notice is that Vic is in it. So we have to assume he's not dead.
It's not his funeral, maybe?
No, I definitely saw Vic alive.
Is he lying horizontally in a nice suit?
No, that's not what I saw. He didn't look like he was sleeping or anything like that, no.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. But that's episode 1 of season 4 of The Affair.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle. Pretty good. Anything else? Any final thoughts? Good to podcast again with you.
Oh, I know. I've missed it so much. I'm so glad to be back.
Finally. All right, me too.
Okay, good.
All right, talk to you next week.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.